الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Most respected elders and friends, Mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, we will be discussing four aspects of the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second, the upbringing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third, the youth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fourth, the middle age of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday in the month of Rabiul Awwal. There are differences of opinion on the dates. Some of them are of the opinion that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on the 8th of Rabiul Awwal, and some people are of the opinion that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born in the house of his uncle Abu Talib. It is the same house that is preserved today that is known as the Maktaba behind the Safa and the Marwa area. The birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very, very blessed moment. Obviously, the kings of this world and the akhirat is coming into this world. Why it won't be the most blessed moment of this world? The mother of Osman ibn Abi al-As, her name Fatima bint Abdullah, she says she was present in the house at the time when the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Amina, was about to give birth. She observed the entire house filled with noor and light. It was something different. It was a very, very good feeling. She says, when I looked up toward the stars at night, in the last moment of the night, it appeared as though the stars are prostrating towards the direction of the house. And she felt that as though the stars may just break loose and come into the house of Amina. Another Sahabi, Irbad ibn Sariya, radiallahu ta'ala, who says, when Hazrat Amina gave birth, at that time Hazrat Amina observed a light, a noor. And it is through that light, through that noor, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala showed her the palaces of Sham or the palaces of the Levant. This was to be translated as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba conquering Sham later in life, which did happen at the time of Umar ibn Khattab through the hands of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On the seventh day of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib, performed the aqiqah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He invited many people from the Quraysh, fed them, and it was on that occasion Abdul Muttalib announced that the name of this grandson of mine would be Muhammad. People were surprised. Nobody kept their son's name Muhammad before. Why such a unique name and why such a strange name? A name nobody kept before. So people asked Abdul Muttalib, what is the basis of keeping your grandson's name Muhammad when it is not a practice, not a custom among the Arabs to keep such a name? So Abdul Muttalib gave the reason. The word Muhammad, the name Muhammad is derived from the root word Hamd. Hamd means praise. And Muhammad, it is in the exaggerative tense. To be abundantly praised. And Abdul Muttalib told the people, it is my wish and my desire, my hope, that this grandchild of mine will be praised in the skies and he'll be praised on the earth. And then he explained his dream. Say, I have seen a dream that there's a chain that is coming out from my back. A chain coming out from my back. That chain extended to the sky. It came down to the earth. It moved to the west. It went to the east. And then the chain converted into a tree with various branches. And every branch had a light, a celestial light on it. There were some people that came, they attached themselves to the branch, and some people came to try to cut out that branch. When people would approach that tree with the evil intention of wanting to cut out that branch, one person would come and repel that person, take that person away. He says, after this dream, I realized that there will be somebody from my progeny who will be praised in the sky, in the earth, in the west and the east. And I'm hopeful that it is this grandchild of mine, Muhammad. Therefore, I have named him Muhammad. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name, Muhammad, has been divinely chosen by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And everything about the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been guided by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is amazing that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his name Muhammad to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to Isa alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدْ. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told that there'll be a person coming after me, a prophet of Allah, his name will be Ahmad. And in other kitabs, Muhammad has been specifically mentioned. Now, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name has been predicted in the previous books, Allah made it such that it was not a common practice, it was not a norm for anybody to keep the name Muhammad. Yet, Nabi Sallallahu's name predicted with the name Ahmad and Muhammad have been mentioned in the previous books. Or if anybody had kept the name Ahmad and Muhammad, they did not claim to be a Nabi of Allah. So Abdul Muttalib explained the reason why he kept his grandchild's name Muhammad. He hoped that he will be praised in the sky. He will be hoped that he will be praised on the earth. Now just touching on the name Muhammad. Muhammad derived from the word Hamd. Hamd means to praise. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is Muhammad and he is Muhammad. He taught us, the Ummah, how to praise Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also been praised. It is because of this, the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you and I, we are called Hammadin. We are called that Ummah that praises Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala a lot. And look at it. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, La salata liman lam yaqra' bi fatiha al-kitab. When a person performs his salah, you have to recite Surah Fatiha. If it is a farz salah, if it's an imam sahab, in the first and two rakats he will read compulsorily. Four rakat salat, in the third and the fourth rakat, it is mustahab to read. If you are behind the imam, according to Hanafi madhab, you won't recite anything. But according to the other madhab, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali madhab, you're going to read Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is alhamd, praising Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If you don't read Surah Fatiha, your salat is invalid. So, the very foundation of our salah is based on hamd, praising Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about how this ummah would praise Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Often we make dua. After our dua, we say, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We're making dua, we're praising Allah, we're glorifying Allah. And at the ending, we are saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Allah is Rabbul Alameen. On the day of Qiyamah, we will also, فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Also on the day of Qiyamah, praising and glorifying Almighty Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah even speaks about this ummah when they go going to Jannah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Even we are so used to praising Almighty Allah, after going into Jannah, we will say, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The very last hadith that comes in Bukhari Sharif, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ سقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. There are two statements that are very beloved to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Light on the tongue, very heavy on the scales. And the two statements are سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Where we praise, we glorify Allah with the hamd and the praises of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, the kunniyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kunniyat, one is a name, and one is, you call it the second name of the, in loose language, the second name of the person. Generally, that the person will keep a second name under his elder son. It was a custom, it was a practice among the Arabs. So the kunniyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abul Qasim. The eldest son of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Qasim, and therefore, apart from the name Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being Muhammad, the kunniyat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Qasim. And another kunniyat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Ibrahim. It comes in a hadith, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam once came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and greeted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alayk ya Aba Ibrahim. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the slave of Abu Lahab, Thuwaybah, she first breastfed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the tribe of Banu Sa'd and he was breastfed there. It was a habit of the Arabs that the moment the child was born, they would send the child in the outskirt areas to be breastfed. For two reasons. The air there was clear, it was very healthy, and it was a clean, beautiful environment. And second, the people in the outskirt areas, they used to speak eloquent Arabic. And when the child from that young age will hear eloquent language, that will also develop and inculcate in the child. Once Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you are very eloquent. You are very eloquent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, why not? Firstly, I am from the Quraysh. And the Quraysh tribe, they are very eloquent in the speech. And second, I was breastfed in the tribe of Banu Saad by Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the Radhai mother, the milk mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrates her amazing experiences with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say the woman from the tribe of Banu Saad, they would come to Makkah to look for children to breastfeed them and do it as a service. So there were many women there that the children were offered. The woman from the tribe of Banu Saad would take the children and go away. But whenever any woman approached the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amina, they would come to know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a yateem. He's an orphan. These women were doing it as a service and they thought to themselves that if this child is an orphan, what wages, what service fee, what remuneration are we going to get? So they would turn away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take another child. Halima Saadiya says that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put a very deep thought in my mind. And she said, I said to myself, Wallah, la azhabanna ila thalika al-yateem fal-akhudhanna. I will go for the child, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would take the child. Asallah an yaj'ala fihi baraka. I'm hopeful that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put some baraka, will put some blessing in this child. Or put blessing in our lives through the child. Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala says, it was her husband and her child. And with that, she had come with a conveyance, her animal. Prior to that, she herself was unable to produce milk. The animal was unable to produce milk. The moment she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away, immediately Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala filled herself with milk. The animal would also was filled with milk and the animal was able to produce milk. After many days, she was able to drink milk. Her husband was able to drink milk. Her child that was there was able to drink milk. As they were going, the animal that they were coming with was weak and feeble. It was right at the end. And while they were returning home, that same animal that was weak and feeble was now so fast beating all the animals. So Halima Saadiya says that her husband told to her, Wallah ya Halima, laqad akhasti nasamatan mubarakah. Oh Halima, this child that you have taken is a very blessed child. Everything of our lives have changed. When they went to that place, to the home place of Halima Saadiya, there was drought there. People used to graze the animal, there hardly used to be any feed. But the people noticed that the animals of Halima Saadiya are being well fed. So everybody used to say, go and graze your animal where Halima Saadiya is grazing her animals. This was all by divine design. It was a barakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a good fortune of Hazrat Halima Saadiya that she had Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her. She was Saadiya from the tribe of Banu Saad, and indeed she was also Saadiya. She was also fortunate to breastfeed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with Halima Saadiya for 2 years. After 2 years, she handed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the mother of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. Yes, in between, there were instances where Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala requested Abu Amina to hand over Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over to her to stay for a longer period of time. Finally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with his mother, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, till the age of 6. Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, the family from the tribe of Banu Najjar were in Medina Munawwara. So she decided to travel to Madinatul Munawwara. She stayed there with the family for 1 month in Medina Munawwara. And after 1 month, when she was returning to Makkah to Mukarrama, in a place called Abawa, she fell ill and she passed away there. At that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 6 years of age. Abawa is not far away from Madina Munawwara. Between Madina and Makkah Mukarrama, where Battle of Badr took place, slightly further than that is a place called Abawa. I've gone there, and I've also had the fortune of going to the blessed Qabr of Hazrat Amina, which is on the top of the mountain or the top of the hill. In the books of Hadith, it is mentioned, once in life, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam requested Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to go to the Qabr of his mother. And after many requests, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala permitted Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go to the Qabr of his mother. He sat beside the Qabr of the mother, and the word in the Hadith come, Baka wa Baka. He cried and he cried and he cried by the Qabr of his mother. In that journey, with Amina was Umm Ayman. She was the slave of the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left in inheritance for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Amina. So Umm Ayman, she took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they proceeded with the journey to Makkatul Mukarrama, and she handed over Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the grandfather of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started staying in the custody and in the supervision of Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Muttalib was very, very fond of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated, being a leader of the tribe, around the Kaaba Sharif, there used to be a special carpet. Nobody could sit on that carpet besides Abdul Muttalib. The only person that had the privilege, the honor, to be able to come onto that carpet was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person states, they noticed Abdul Muttalib on one occasion making tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif, and he was saying these statements. Whilst making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, رُدَّ إِلَيَّ رَاكِبُ مُحَبَّدْ رُدَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَنَعْ إِلَيَّ يَدًا, which means that, oh Allah, hand over my rider to me, referring to Muhammad, hand him over to me, return him to me. And oh Allah, do me a favor, hand over Muhammad to me. When people ask Abdul Muttalib, what is the matter? He said, my son is gone out in the open fields, he hasn't yet returned, and that has created anxiety in me. He was so fond, so caring about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and making dua to Allah to say, hand over Muhammad over to him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with Abdul Muttalib for a period of 2 years. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 8 years of age, by divine design, Allah had it such, taqdeer had it such, now, apart from the father passing away, mother passing away, now the grandfather Abdul Muttalib had now passed away. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, do you remember Abdul Muttalib? Normally when a person grows up, he's a young child, and he at that time he remembers, later in life he probably forgets. So he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you remember Abdul Muttalib? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, yes, I was 8 years of age at that time. Umm Ayman says, when Abdul Muttalib passed away, she could see signs of grief on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She even observed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying on that occasion. Abdul Muttalib, according to one narration, he was blessed with a very good age. One narration, 8 years, and according to another narration, he was 120 years of age. After the demise of Abdul Muttalib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now went into the custody of his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib showed lots of care, lots of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a pillar of strength, and he gave a lot of support to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has been acknowledged by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on many, many occasions. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was young, there was a drought in Makkah al-Mukarrama. Abu Talib was the leader of the Quraysh, leader of the people. So people came to him and told to him that we should go by the Kaaba and we should make dua to Allah to send down rain. Abu Talib had so much of confidence in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a young boy. He took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the Kaaba Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back was facing the Kaaba, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to pick up his finger. He just picked up his finger. The moment that happened, it was a clear sky. The clouds came rushing, and within a short period of time, there was torrents of rain that have come down. It was on that Abu Talib used to say this poem. Wa abyaz yustasqa biwajhi al-ghamam thimalul yatama ismatun lil aramil. Subhanallah. He says, praising Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know who this nephew of mine is? This is his position. Wa abyaz yustasqa biwajhi al-ghamam. Wa abyaz yustasqa biwajhi al-ghamam simalul yatama ismatun lil aramil. He's a bright faced person through whose face we seek rain from Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He is a support and he is a comforter to orphans and to widows. At a young age, that's what Abu Talib foresaw of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life was a means of great comfort and support for orphans and for widows. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 12 years of age, Abu Talib was a businessman. He would travel a lot. He would go to Syria. He would go to Sham, do tijarat, trade, business. So he wanted to go to Sham to do some business. He initially decided to leave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behind. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried as a young child. He wanted to join his uncle Abu Talib on this journey. Abu Talib felt him sorry, and Abu Talib took Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam along with him. One amazing incident took place in Sham. Prior to this, on that valley where they walked, Abu Talib went in that valley many, many times. But this time, one very strange, unique incident took place. In that valley, not far from there, there was a priest, Rahib. His name was Buhaira. On this instance, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling with his uncle Abu Talib, when he was only 12 years old, Buhaira came out from his place of worship. He looked at the delegation and he's looking at everyone's face, as though he's examining everyone. He looks closely into the face and the eyes of one person, eyes and face of the next person, until when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 12 years old child, he looks at him, he exclaimed, Wallah, hadha sayyidu rabbil alameen. Wallah, hadha sayyidu rabbil alameen. By Allah, this is the king of the king of the worlds. Referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talib and the people of the delegation were surprised. How do you know that? And what do you mean by that? Buhaira told that he is the last prophet that Allah has appointed in this world. Many, many people happen to pass this valley, but today I've seen something unique, something surprising. That as this child was walking in the valley, I saw that the trees have bent, gone into prostration direction, in a prostration mode. And I knew, when I read from my scriptures, that this is what is going to happen, and I decided to come and inspect myself. Buhaira went back to the home. He prepared some food to give this delegation. When he came back, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was gone out in the fields. So he asked Abu Talib and the people of the delegation, where is that young boy? So he's gone out. Now it was in the mid-afternoon. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was returning, everybody had already taken shade. So it was in the mid-afternoon, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking, Buhaira told the people of the delegation, look, there's a cloud right above him. There's a cloud right above Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he came by the shade, everybody has taken place under the shade, under the branches of the shade of the tree. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came at one place, there was a very, very clearly they've noticed that there was a branch of the tree that actually went in the direction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a unique incident that took place. Buhayra told to Abu Talib that I urge you, don't take him to Sham. If the people of Sham come to know about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will hurt him, they will injure him, they probably will kill him. Take him back to Makkah Mukarramah from where you people have come. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grows up. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did some business. It is stated that everybody, they had confidence in the amanatdari, in the trustworthiness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam earned this title, Al-Ameen, As-Sadiq. The most trustworthy person and the most truthful person. In the books of hadith, in Abu Dawud Sharif, an incident is mentioned that there's one person in the time of Jahiliyyah, he did some business with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was supposed to come and pay Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the money. He promised I would come back just now, he probably forgot. After 3 days he remembered, he came to give the money to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him at that point, you go fetch the money, you come, I'll be waiting here. 3 days have passed by, and when he remembered, he came back to the same spot, he found Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. How fulfilling was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his wa'ada, how fulfilling was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his promises. In fact, there's another incident mentioned about Abdullah ibn Sa'ib. He was a partner with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in business in Makkah Mukarramah. This was long time ago. It was in the time of Jahiliyyah. So he traveled, he came to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized that this is my partner with whom I did business. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Hal anta ta'arifuni? Do you recognize me?" So he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Yes, I recognize you." And he mentioned these words for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Kunta shariki fa ni'ma shariq." You were my partner. We did business together. You were my partner in the pre-Islam, in the past. And you were a wonderful partner. Now, this is how we do the muamalat and dealings with people. We earn the respect of the people with whom we do a business. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's not like that. In fact, Allah Tabaraka speaks about this partnership in the Quran Kareem. That Allah says, there are very, very few people. People do business, tijarat, trade. In the beginning, everybody will make the promises. I promise I'll be like a brother to you. I will do this, I will do that. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. Very, very few people keep up to their promises in trade, in business, as partners. Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Pando Sahab, Namat Barakatuhum, he once mentioned an incident to me, a story, an anecdote. There was a partnership between an old man and a young person. The partnership was in grains. So the elderly, both of them had an understanding that one day the elderly person would take some grains for his use, and another day the young person will take grains for his use. After some time, both of them realized, the elderly person realized that there is no decrease in the grains. The young person also realized there is no decrease in the grains. So the elderly person thought that he should tell the young person, why are you not taking the grains? Take the grains. So he approached the young person and he told to him that, look, why are you not taking grains for your use according to our understanding? So young person then told to elder person, why are you not taking grains for your needs and fulfilling your needs? So both of them told to each other something very amazing and very thought-provoking. The elderly person told to a young person, I don't take migraines because I thought to myself that I'm an elderly person. I don't have much to live. You are a young person. You've got a long life ahead of you. So I decided to reserve my share for your benefit. Who will do that today in partnership? Reserving your share for the benefit of the next person. And then the young person mentioned something even more surprising. He said, I wouldn't take my share thinking that I'm young. I've still got life ahead of me. I've got strength. I've got energy. You are an elderly person. You don't have that amount of strength that I have. I decided to reserve my share of grains for your benefit. Subhanallah. This is the type of partnership consideration for each other. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also grazed sheep. In Bukhari Sharif, there's an incident. Sahaba went out somewhere in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and they started picking berries. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, alaykum bil aswad. Pick the blackberries. Now normally a person who is a shepherd, a person who knows farm life, he would know which berries are good, which berries are not good. Only this can come from expert advice. So Sahaba asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you know that we should pick blackberries? This is expert advice. Were you a shepherd? Because a shepherd normally knows this. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, yes, I was a shepherd and I used to graze sheep ala qararit. Qararit is a type of a money that was given in those days. I used to provide the service and I should earn my income through that. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that wahal min nabiyyin illa ra'a. Every Nabi of Allah, whoever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent, according to the hadith, whether it was Nuh alayhi salam, whether it was Hud alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, every Nabi that came down, every Nabi was a shepherd, stood in the open field grazing sheep. And why not? Allah wanted to train them. Today you are grazing sheep, tomorrow you have to graze humanity, you have to make tarbiyat of humanity. In this way, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala nurtured the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. In conclusion, the youth of the middle age of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an amazing incident took place. The Kaaba Sharif is in a valley. In Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned that there used to be heavy rain, floods used to come. The Kaaba Sharif that time did not have a roof. And because the Kaaba Sharif was in a valley, when the heavy rain used to come, the flood water used to raise and it used to go inside the Kaaba Sharif that weakened the foundation and the building of the Kaaba Sharif. The Quraysh decided that they should rebuild the Kaaba Sharif. Demolish the present Kaaba Sharif and rebuild it because the foundations are gone weak. And they announced to everyone that everybody, whoever wished to contribute from their pure funds, not from immoral funds, pure funds. This is the house of Allah. We need to contribute few pure funds in this house of Allah. Who wants to contribute may do so. When the contribution was collected, it fell short. And when they built the Kaaba Sharif, the Hatim area was unable to be covered with that. The Hatim area was fell short. The funds were not enough to include the Hatim area in the Kaaba Sharif. So after they built the Kaaba Sharif, the challenge was on the Hajr-e Aswad. Who is going to place the Hajr-e Aswad in the corner of the Kaaba Sharif? The very various tribes there, and every tribe wanted the privilege and honor to place the Hajr-e Aswad on the corner of the Kaaba, close to the door of the Kaaba Sharif. And there was a fear that there was going to be a big dispute taking place, because this was the issue of privilege, this was the issue of honor. There will almost be a tribal fight. But one elderly person by the name of Banu Umayya ibn Mughira, he was probably the most eldest person, most senior person, he gave an opinion and he said that tomorrow morning we will observe who is the first person to come into the haram. That person will take his advice on what we should do. Whatever decision he makes, we will go by that. They all agreed. In the morning, everybody was waiting to see who is going to be the first person that enters into the haram. Allah made it such, taqdeer had it such, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered. Everybody observed it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Hada Amin, Wallah, Nahnu Narda. This is Al-Amin, the truth word, the trustworthy person, the truthful person. We will go by his advice. Look at the wisdom of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this can only be by divine guidance. What to do? Who's going to place the Hajar Aswad in the corner of the Kaaba? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for a big sheet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the Hajar Aswad, put it in a place in the center of the sheet, and he told the representatives of the various tribes to hold the corner of the sheet and lift it up. So everybody had a share in placing the Hajar Aswad in the place of the Hajar Aswad. And when it was brought right on top, Nabi Kareem took the Hajar Aswad and he himself placed it in the place where it was normally supposed to be kept. And in this way, through Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala quelled this tribal fight and brought peace among the Arabs. Everybody was happy with that. So just to summarize, the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a yatim. At the age of 6, the mother passes away. At the age of 8, the beloved grandfather Abdul Muttalib passed away. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he grew up, later in life, he stayed with Abu Talib, and later in life, that's when Abu Talib passed away, and we will be talking about that in the future sessions. We make dua, Allah grant us true love, understanding of the seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and imbue our hearts with that love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we are able to easily follow Ati'u Allah wa Ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah, obey the Rasul of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.